Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City in the state capitol. On the broadcast today, Colton Lockhead, he's political reporter of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Lindsay Knox, Cheryl Blomstrom, and Don Tatro. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved.
And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program Colton Lockhead. He's political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, based along with his colleague in Carson City permanently, and it's a pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Sam.
So let's start out, first of all, with the opinion here from the LCB that you don't need two-thirds vote to be able to extend these taxes. James Heddlemeyer, the minority leader, was on the program a couple of days ago, and he is definitely getting ready to file a lawsuit. How do you think this is going to play out, and how do you think that this is going to affect shutting down the session?
I think that's one of the kind of overhanging issue still left in the session is what happens with the two-thirds vote for the modified business tax and extending the sunsets on these taxes. With that two-thirds opinion, Democrats no longer need, or they don't feel like they need, to hit that two-thirds mark. But the question is whether or not they'll still try to get them. You know, they already have the votes for it in the Assembly with the supermajority there. On the Senate side is where it gets interesting. They're one seat away from having a supermajority. Basically, it came down to Keith Pickard's seat, Senator Pickard's seat from Henderson, 24 votes. The question is whether or not they will be able to get somebody, one, or more than likely try to get two Republicans to vote for the tax to avoid, in an attempt to avoid the potential lawsuit from the Republicans who would likely challenge it if they pass it on a party line vote.
Well, I remember, you know, with the Mean 15 several years ago, there were several special sessions before we finally had one vote from rural Nevada to break the deadlock. But I'm sure that Republicans are looking at the fate of Joe Heck and of Dean Heller in the sense that when they broke with Donald Trump, they ended up losing their elections. And if one or two Republicans break ranks, how does this affect their future? I wonder, you know, how big a part that concern is going to play versus being a statesman, which is, I don't care if I get reelected or not.
Right, and I think that's, you know, that's what we're seeing is, you know, people trying to weigh that balance. You know, if they believe that these taxes could be useful for funding, you know, various different things, whether it's education, whatever it's going to end up funding, if they believe it, you know, they could vote for it, but then the political ramifications of re-election or the potential for running for higher office, you know, if a Republican votes for, if one or two Republicans vote for this tax to avoid the lawsuit effectively, how does it, could it hurt them if they want to run for future higher office, whether it's statewide, like you mentioned, breaking rank can be detrimental when it comes to that, because then you may not be able to get the full support of your party, which you obviously need to be able to win a higher office.
One of the votes that just happened in the last day was this vote on getting rid of the Electoral College and going with the popular vote. It sounds like such a good idea if you consider Al Gore and Hillary Clinton's election results running for president, but for the state of Nevada, it would be a disaster. We would become zero.
And it's interesting to see where it would play, because obviously if it becomes a national popular vote, Nevada is only, you know, 3 million people in a country of hundreds of millions.
300, over.
I think it's 330 million, literally, you know, barely a percent. So what would drive, you know, presidential candidates here? We have the early caucus, but is that something that, you know, would even stick around, you know, in a national popular vote model? Or, and especially when it comes to, you know, when it comes time for the general election for presidential candidates, it's hard to think that they will spend the same amount of time that they currently spend in Nevada. I think, you know, last year or last presidential cycle in 2016, in the final 3 months, Mike Pence was here multiple times, Donald Trump was here multiple times, Clinton, everybody was here. It was almost every day we had a presidential campaign rally, whether it was in Carson City, Reno, Elko.
Yes.
Right? Elko, you know, Trump flew into Elko Airport, held a big rally there.
Barack Obama. With Steve Kroft from 60 Minutes in Elko, Nevada.
Yeah. And that's kind of become a thing for Nevada. We're a small state, but we carry a lot of weight on the national level when it comes to especially the presidential elections. And it's interesting to think about where that would leave us now that we've lost, you know, somebody like Harry Reid, you know, losing that kind of national prominence, having the Senate Democratic leader no longer there, and now we have two, you know, effectively two first-term senators instead. The current model does give Nevada that national prominence. Under the national popular vote model, that's the question, and it's interesting, especially on the assembly side. It was a really interesting vote because there was both Republican and Democrat opposition to it. I think it was Teresa Benitez Thompson was specifically
right,
opposed to it, because she felt that it's going to take away Nevada's current position on the national stage. But on the flip side, you have, you know, in the country's history, there's only been five presidents that have been elected via the Electoral College while losing the popular vote. But I think it's now twice in the last three presidents. So that's the question is, at what point does there need to be some sort of a adjustment, you know? Is that a problem if that's the case, or is the Electoral College doing its job by protecting the smaller states?
Well, and the other part is that in previous discussions of this, beyond Hillary Clinton, you did not have the power of the news networks and making such a fuss about this. And so, you know, people have become much more aware of this. They understand the idea that somebody didn't get the Electoral College votes. And how many people, if we walked out of this building down the street and asked people, what is the Electoral College? Where is it located? You would get some very interesting answers, because they have no clue.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it is taught in schools, at least it was taught when I was in school, but it's still not something that most people, I think, have an understanding of how it actually operates and just how important it is overall, and, you know, whether it's the way that the electoral votes are, you know, kind of doled out versus the actual, you know, having electorates and the entire process that actually happens kind of behind the scenes. You don't really see it as much as you see, obviously, the you know, election night results.
Teresa Benitez Thompson, interesting lady, very smart lady, seems to be working a lot behind the scenes. What can you share with us about her that we're not seeing really in the press, because she doesn't seem to have done very much press?
She's done a little bit. I know I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. I think it was they had held a kind of a press roundtable not that long ago, Benitez Thompson, Speaker Frierson, kind of a press gaggle. And she's been available to the press, but she's not, you know, holding press conferences or anything like that. She's definitely been extremely involved in a lot of the kind of mobilizing the ground troops, especially over in the assembly, trying to make sure that everybody's on board. They have a very large caucus over there, 29 members in the assembly, or 20, right. 28.
Wrangling cats, I believe is the phrase.
Yeah, and from various different, effectively, wings of the Democratic Party, you have the progressives, you have moderates, and you know, some of the votes we've seen have kind of shown that. You've seen a few Democrats, you know, vote against something that's either they think is too progressive or not progressive enough. And so that's.
And how much of a play do you think that is? Potentially concern for Democrats is that this invariably happens. Senator Reid had this when he had a 60-vote majority in the United States Senate. Is that, you know, within your own party now, instead of all being combined because you're fighting the opposition because you're a small number, now you're in the majority, and now all of these internecine battles break out.
And that's really actually probably where most of the fights are happening this session. Is not between Democrats and Republicans. We know we're not seeing the kind of the vitriol that we saw in 2017, where especially, you know, on the 2017 with the education savings account fight, we're not seeing that. What's happening now is Democrats are kind of behind the scenes trying to figure out how to accommodate the progressives, how to accommodate the moderates. There's a vast spectrum of Democrats in this session, from more moderate types, like more moderate and almost slightly conservative leaning Democrats like a Skip Daley, versus you go further down the wing and you've got a lot of the freshmen are definitely more along that progressive wing. And trying to make sure that you can keep them all in line on a vote, it can be difficult. The advantage is when you have a 29 to 13 majority, you can lose a few votes on most. So
you know, and it's interesting here you refer to Skip Daley as a conservative Democrat. You know, back in the day, Richard Bryan and Harry Reid, you know, I'm talking 30 years ago, were considered conservative Democrats because mm-hmm. that was the only way you could get elected statewide, by being a conservative Democrat. Boy, have times changed. Let's take a break. More with Colton Lockhead from the Las Vegas Review-Journal after this.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia. Yeah.
Because of UMC, there's a wide open road ahead of me.
Because of UMC, she can grow up with her twin sister.
Because of UMC, I'm here to help you.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, somebody told me 30 years ago that if you're not reading the Las Vegas Review-Journal, you have no idea what's going on in our state. And that's why I've been a loyal reader and even subscribed to the paper online, which is a very worthwhile thing. Colton Lockhead is a political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal based here in Carson City. So the criminal justice reform bill, we had Lita Cannizzaro on the program last week, and it seemed like she had a lot of problems with Assemblyman Yeager's bill coming out of the Assembly. What do you think the chances are that they're going to come to a resolution on this as in the waning days of the session?
I think there's a good chance. I think the version that came out of the Assembly has already been fairly pared down. A lot of concessions made to the prosecutors and the police and the law enforcement, especially on things like drug possession weights. And I think there's still a lot of discussions going on about that. So I think that there will be some pretty substantive changes that'll come through that, but I think there will still be some concessions that will go towards the law enforcement side, which Leader Cannizzaro, prosecutor herself down in Southern Nevada. So it's an interesting dynamic between Assembly Judiciary Chair Steve Yeager, former public defender, versus now it goes over to Cannizzaro, a district attorney.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much for being here. I know a very busy time for you. After the session, please come back and we'll do a wrap up.
Definitely.
And we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, as promised, we have a great PowerPoint panel we're bringing back in. Cheryl Blomstrom is here, former president of the Nevada Taxpayers Association. Don Tatro, executive director of the Builders Association of Nevada. And Lindsay Knox, policy director for McDonald Carano Wilson. So the first thing I want to talk about this vote that is just astonishing to me, for the popular vote versus the Electoral College, which just kills a state like Nevada.
It absolutely does. Back in the day, when Senator Reid moved to have a caucus in Nevada and really brought Nevada to prominence, I think this completely undoes that. There's going to be zero reason. We have six electoral votes. There is no reason for anybody to even stop in Nevada. They're going to go to New York and Florida and Texas and California. Yep. And the rest of us are flyovers.
I've tried to figure out the advantage for Nevada in that scenario, and I can't. Being a smaller state and having our current situation where every presidential hopeful is coming to town, coming to Carson City during the legislative session, going to the rural areas, to Las Vegas, I don't see how abandoning what, like you said, Harry Reid has put in place is beneficial. We are able to voice our concerns to the person who's going to hold the highest office in the country And I think this erodes that. And it makes us just a flyover state.
Well, from a perfectly selfish point of view, I mean, I've already had communications from major candidates on the Democratic Party side who want to make sure that either we're in Las Vegas to tape them or tape them back in Washington, D.C. And I can already tell who has the better ground game at this point, who's putting the money into the appropriate places, and who has the smartest on the ground people, people who know Nevada, who know the media outlets in Nevada, and are making contact.
Well, it's like every other elected person's running for president, right?
Well, they are. I think we're up to 100 now. Yeah. But I'll give you two names, 24? And that's the reason why the public at large thinks that the popular vote is the way to go, and that's Al Gore and Hillary Clinton. When those two people that the majority of Democrats thought should have won their races, either for, you know, in both cases for president, and it didn't happen, that's why people think, well, we better do the popular vote, but they don't get the ramifications.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, Senator Kiekhefer said it best on the floor yesterday. 63 people are going to make the decision for all Nevadans. Their votes truly do not matter anymore. And I think that that sets a bad precedence for our electeds. And I think it's an unfortunate position for all voters to be in a time where voting has become such an important piece and everybody is exercising that right, we are going to almost strip them from that. And I think that it's sad. It's sad direction that the state is going.
And, you know, I think it's up to those of us in the media to be able to publicize this as much as possible and give both sides and say, hey, if this is what you want, that's fine. But, you know, as Cheryl said, it's going to be California and Texas and Florida and Ohio that are going to be picking the president.
Right.
And we're not even going to have a look in.
We will not. And it doesn't matter which party. This is not a partisan issue. This is just a really bad idea.
Yeah, people.
This is a Nevada
people,
issue.
Yeah, people yeah. are always talking about the Constitution. Perhaps they should read it.
Perhaps, because there's some really fitting things in there that describe this exact scenario, and I think our founding fathers were brilliant in the way they set up our republic and the way that they protected small states and the way that they gave some power to large states. I am very impressed. I mean, incredibly and increasingly impressed with how prescient they were.
Yes.
And we're just ignoring that.
Yep. You put out, Lindsay, a great newsletter each week that people can find on Facebook, Twitter,
and LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you were writing about was, and I know Don's going to want to jump in on this as well, construction defect lawsuits. Where are we with that?
So currently we're still in negotiations. There is one key piece.
There are negotiations?
Yes.
Okay.
There are negotiations. I mean, we have 13 days left, but it is...
As of this taping, yeah.
Yes, as of this taping, there's 13 days left, and they are working diligently, and it's not just, you know, our side that is. It is their side as well. We're coming to the table. We're trying to have a decent dialogue to get one key piece fixed. Even though there's a lot more we want, we're focusing on the HOA piece right now, and
what is the HOA piece?
I'm going to let Don get into that piece.
What it does is it could potentially allow for lawsuits to come through an HOA into an individual's house. The person who would have that lawsuit or have the house tied up in a lawsuit may not have the authority to to sign off on it. And that's extremely scary for anybody living in an HOA. We had a former FBI agent. If you haven't read the testimony, go to it and kind of nerd out for a minute, but it was one of the largest mob criminal rings in the state, and how this could potentially open the door to that again. And he minced no words in saying this will open it up and bringing this corruption back into the state. It was so easy to sue. We're looking at longer years of statute of repose. That's your ability to sue somebody without backing it up with facts on why that's necessary. So. Your insurance costs are going to go up. If you have to insure it longer, it's going to cost more, and it's going to cost a lot more per project. So this is a direct affront to attainability and entry-level housing and many of the pieces that we're trying to fix in this legislative session and in the state, and I hate to see it go forward as is.
Affordable housing is another huge issue across the state, but what is the responsibility of government to be involved in this versus the marketplace?
Speaking strictly for myself, I think that it is government's job to create the environment where the market comes in and is successful. That is the most direct way to provide affordable housing. There are ways that government can do that. We talked about the blockchain. If they can create efficiencies in the processing, that's going to drive the cost down. If they reduce some of the permitting costs for affordable housing, that drives the cost down. If they allow different sorts of zoning, you know, closer zoning, a little bit higher density, that drives the cost down. There are lots of ways government can help.
Agreed?
Oh, absolutely. I think that what we see right now in the building is some legislation that could harm this. When you give local governments a certain amount of power, you don't know what you're going to get from that local government. And that is our biggest fear. There was an article in the RGJ talking about rent control, or not rent control, but the way rents are in Reno. And that's a fear for us of what our local government could do with some of the legislation that's been in the building.
Okay, in about 45 seconds.
Ineffective tool to rent control and inclusionary zoning are great buzzwords, but it's been ineffective everywhere it's been implemented. So that needs to be removed off the table. There's just not a reason for it. Nobody in their testimony has backed up why it would be a good idea for local governments to have this. We don't ask restaurants, car manufacturers to subsidize their meals or their costs to take care of what we deem our community responsibilities via buses, food banks, and all those things. Yet we're looking at home builders to provide that through their own means, and it's not feasible. And so these are community problems that need community solutions.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Kenny! Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lorianne, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
In addition to NevadaNewsmakers.com, you can also watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'll see you on the next broadcast.